Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. You may not know that America's ambassador to Ireland is a St. Louisan. With a name like Kevin O'Malley, he no doubt feels right at home in Dublin. We'll meet him in a couple of moments. But first, for more than a decade, Iraq has been characterized by internal conflict fed by rival ethnic and religious factions. 6 years ago, a then 17-year-old Iraqi girl found a way to bring literal harmony to a small group of young people representing all of those factions, Sunni, Shia, Kurds, and Christians. She is Zuhal Sultan, or Sultan, I should say, sorry about that, and she founded the National Youth Orchestra of Iraq. Since 2009, the orchestra has won acclaim in many parts of the world, and for her role, Zuhal has been honored with the Euphrates Institute's 2015 Visionary of the Year Award. The Euphrates Institute works for a more peaceful Middle East and has chapters in St. Louis and at Principia College in Elsa, Illinois, where Ms. Sultan is speaking this evening, and she joins me in studio. Zuhal, so nice to have you here. Welcome to St. Louis.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Congratulations on the award. That's a very prestigious one, I know.
It's such a pleasure to cooperate with the Euphrates Institute. Both my orchestra and the Institute have one message, which is to recognize that for a greater peace in the world, one must start with the Middle East. It's a troubled country, but at the same time, it's a country that has a side that's the light has not been shone through on, and that's the side where people want to live and want a better quality of life and appreciate what they have and are grateful for it and want to capitalize on it.
And in some way, the youth orchestra does just that.
Yes, it's one of these ideas that came to me in the dark, literally, when there are no power in my house, as you would in Baghdad. And the idea is that the country is divided, and what we get in the media, what perhaps the Western world gets in the media, is war and conflict. But at the same time, there are the young generation, at least in the country, wants to grow out of that situation, want to grow out of that image. And there are people in the country who play music and do art. And I'm a musician myself. I'm a pianist. So I had the idea, the passion, and two tools, basically. One is music and the other is a very weak internet connection, mm-hmm. which I've used to source out the musicians and have YouTube interviews and source out the conductor as well. And to start a small project with Unites Arabs, Kurds from different sects and backgrounds and religions to come together on one stage.
Well, without the internet connection or with a poor internet connection, how did you go about finding the people that would comprise your orchestra?
It initially started to a word of mouth of there being an idea of a project of an orchestra. And it spread out very quickly across the country. It's not a very big country, so it's easier to connect to musicians. And we just asked them to send us a video of the performance of whatever they like, just to show us what they're capable of. And from then on, when the orchestra had its concerts and had more summer courses, people found out about it, and so we'd have annual auditions where we audition musicians. And it started out from 60 applicants to 280 at the moment.
And how many members of the orchestra are there?
It ranges from 46 to 50 each year.
Well, you've had 6 years of the orchestra now. Is there much turnover? Do you have a number of people come and go?
Yes, we have some of the very good ones who manage to stay every year, and we have new musicians coming in. But the interesting fact is those who have experienced the orchestra. I must add one very important fact about this orchestra is that most of these musicians are actually self-taught. Not unlike myself, at some point after 2003, my piano teacher left the country. And so I found myself, and many of my musical colleagues found themselves not able to have to sustain their music education. So they resorted to the internet again to look up music and to see videos, and that's how they taught themselves. So we were struggling not only with building an institute from scratch, but also to get their education level up to scratch to perform at a concert and even perform in another country.
Was there resistance on the part of anyone in your country to your chore of developing and building this orchestra?
Not from the public. The public were very supportive. In our first concert, we had about 1,000 people in the audience from all over the country driving up to Kurdistan to see the orchestra. And it's interesting, when I'm connected on Facebook through lots of my country's Facebook pages, and I see sometimes conflicts about different things between sects. But then I go on to my orchestra page and people say, "Wow, that's amazing, congratulations." Nobody asks, this person is a Kurd and this person is an Arab, this person is Christian or Muslim, which shows, you know, that's part of a culture where people are finding something to be proud of an Iraqi, regardless of who they are and where they come from. There has been support initially on the part of the government. In the first year, we had some help from the Deputy Prime Minister, but afterwards, none at all. There hasn't been a resistance, but just the political agenda overpowers what the orchestra's message is about.
But many members of your orchestra are women, and my understanding is that there are some factions in Iraq that disapprove of women playing instruments.
That's true, but at least within my orchestra, this has never been a problem. The fact that this orchestra is being led and founded by a woman has never been a problem, and the fact that women in the orchestra, some wear headscarf and some are, you know, just regularly dressed, it's not an issue at all, which really is fascinating, even to me, someone who's from the country and has lived there all of their life, mostly.
What about practicing? Is that an issue? Is there plenty of opportunity to get this group of 40-plus together?
No. Well, the musicians themselves in their own environment have trouble practicing. At some point, it was very difficult for the musicians to even carry their instrument around in the streets because they're afraid of extremists, or they're even afraid of the instrument being mistaken as a weapon. Mm-hmm. But we gather enough funding for the orchestra to get together once a year in the summer for 4 weeks, where they can have help from musicians who come all the way from the United States, from Europe, to help teach those kids in these 3 weeks, and then in the last week they perform.
Where does that funding come from?
In honesty, it's a national project, but it's an international project as well. We've had support from all over the world. Initially, we had support from the British Council. And in our tour, which was meant to happen in the United States in 2014, before the Islamic State took over, we had support from the Elgin Youth Symphony Orchestra in Illinois. And they were very supportive and very much looking forward to it. So mostly it's the host country, or perhaps even the locals, would help us sustain the orchestra, really.
Let's talk a little bit more about the ISIS influence, because that's what we're hearing so much about in this country. And you say that it already has had influence on the itinerary of your orchestra. Tell us about how ISIS acts and interacts these days.
Well, I'll give you a story of one of my orchestra members who lives in Mosul, the first city that ISIS took over in Iraq. And he's a Christian, and he's had to leave his home, his belonging, his belongings, and basically the place where he was born and raised. And I was in touch with him a few weeks ago, and I asked him how he was, and he had to relocate somewhere on the north. And he said to me, you know, I'm very sad. I miss my place. I miss my home. And I said, what about your music? And he said, I'm still practicing. I still want to be part of the orchestra. So ISIS is having an influence. It's not a stable... Well, Iraq has not been stable in a while, but at the moment, it's not a good environment to be in. And definitely for someone who seeks a good quality of life and want to practice their freedom in doing that. But at the end of the day, there are people who still want to pursue life and still want to continue living their life despite of ISIS and despite of any extremists who are against that.
I would not think that the ISIS people would take too kindly to something like the orchestra, which is trying to shine a light in a place where they don't particularly want much light.
Well, they don't take kindly to that. They should leave. At the end of the day,
I think a lot of people would be happy if they would.
That's true.
It's a question of where would they go if they did.
Well, the issue is that Iraq is a very diverse country. Different, you know, it has different people from everywhere, as I've mentioned earlier, and that it comes with that. People who would favor one thing and people who would favor another. But at the end of the day, there has to be a compromise. ISIS has to leave. It has no place in the country. And those people who want to practice their freedoms should be able to do so.
They should be able to. But the environment doesn't seem to indicate that that's likely to happen anytime soon.
Well, at the end of the day, it's a struggle for the people in the country. And it's not affected only my musicians, and it's not affected only Iraqis. The refugee crisis that's coming out of Syria and coming out of my country, it's way beyond that. And so for that reason, a radical solution has to come along, and there has to be a way for ISIS to go in order for normalcy to prevail.
Turning back now to the orchestra itself and the fact that you do have a diverse, it's composed of a diverse group, how difficult was it to not, once you brought these people together and they represent different factions, to have them get along? Was there any problem in the camaraderie of the members of the orchestra, for instance?
Initially, very briefly, yes. At least when I started the idea of the orchestra, the main motivation for the orchestra members to come and join was to get music lessons and just to play music and be conducted by a Scottish conductor. And so perhaps they didn't even think about making friends or creating unity, which was the byproduct of this, I would like to say, the orchestra. So the first rehearsal, they sounded horrible. They did not want to speak to each other, and it was a complete mess. I thought I made the biggest mistake of my life. But within 3 to 4 days, one of the members got on the bus to go to the restaurant for food, and he played some Kurdish folk music and started dancing in the middle of the bus, health and safety there. And someone else from the orchestra joined him, and then another person, and all of a sudden the bus was bouncing on the street, and it's all of them getting together and dancing. And that was a turning point. I think after that day, they became friends. They started listening to each other. At the end of the day, an orchestra is about listening to each other. It's not overpowering another person. I can tell you that one of the members of the orchestra, who's an Arab, who's never spoken a word of Kurdish before this orchestra, is now fluent in the language just because of her spending 4 weeks every year.
And if there's ever an organization in which people do have to work together and synchronously, if that's even a word, it would be playing as a member of an orchestra.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. Okay, we have to take a break. We'll do that now. My guest in studio is Zuhal Sultan. She founded the National Youth Orchestra of Iraq 6 years ago. She's in town today to speak this evening on Uniting Iraq's Youth Through Music. That's going to be happening at 4:30 p.m. at the Wanamaker Hall at Principia College in Elsa, Illinois. Back to continue our conversation, if you'd like to talk to Zuhal, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd prefer to send a tweet, we'll take that too at STL on Air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Zuhal Sultan. Music plays a very, very special role, doesn't it, in bringing people together?
That's true.
Talk a little bit about that and how you've seen, we've discussed somewhat how it has brought members of the orchestra together, but how does it bring the audiences you play in front of together with your musicians?
Well, in the first year of establishing the orchestra, we sat down with the orchestra members and we said to them, what would you like this orchestra to be about? What is it? What is the message that you want to put across? And some of our orchestra members said, well, we want to spread Iraqi culture to the world and to ourselves. And we said, what would you mean by that? And so they said they wanted to play some Iraqi music. And it's an orchestra, it's a Western orchestra, it's a symphony orchestra. And so it's difficult to perhaps take Eastern melodies and arrange them to an orchestra that wouldn't sound in a way simplistic. And so we wanted to take the music to a global audience. And for that, we have commissioned every year a Kurdish composer and an Arab composer to write a piece for the orchestra that perhaps speaks about the culture, speaks about the circumstances of the country, and to portray the background of the orchestra. And so far, we've had some commissions, and we've encouraged local composers, which before the orchestra, I did not even know they existed. And we've helped those who are not able to get their writing up to standards to get some online tuition to do that and to perhaps be commissioned by the orchestra at some point.
Do you find that in other countries that audience come to watch and listen to the orchestra as thinking of it and seeing it as perhaps something of a curiosity?
It is. I think many people would just want to see, an orchestra from Iraq, a youth orchestra. And they just want to see what they're like. And at the end of the day, they get surprised because they're perhaps like most youth orchestras around the world. They're young, they want to have fun, and they have the struggles of a teenage orchestra. But they also come with their own challenges. They come with their own backgrounds, and they bring something very unique to the group and to perhaps to the global perspective.
What is the age range of the orchestra members?
It's quite wide. It's from 14 to 29. And the reason for that is that we want to include many people who have not had enough of an opportunity to further their music education.
Do they have any difficulty coming and going from the country, traveling to other? I know they've played extensively in Europe, as I understand it.
Yes.
Any difficulty coming and going?
Well, it's to a degree. If you're an Iraqi, you have difficulty going anywhere and getting a visa. But I think at least in Europe, we've had great support, and it's been relatively simple. But when it comes to the United States, that's where we had to our tour was suspended. It's because we were not able to obtain visas to come to the country. And we've never had an incident in Europe where some of our members fled the orchestra or stayed there. They're all very happy to go back to their community and to contribute.
We have a tweet from a Bryce. Bryce Jones asks, has anyone been targeted for being or a part of the orchestra?
I know that some of the musicians in the country have received threats for being a musician, but they've continued nevertheless. But for those who felt that their family is in danger, have had to leave the country. But other than that, yes, there is a threat. There's an evidence for that as well. But they still continue on.
Well, it takes a great deal of courage to, I mean, I understand these people are committed, your orchestra members are committed to their music, but it takes some courage to want to be a part of it in that environment, doesn't it?
I think, not to simplify things, it takes courage to exist in that country and to want to have a life. And when I lived in Iraq, if I had the mentality of I'm scared for my life every single second of the day, I wouldn't be able to go to school. I wouldn't be able to finish my education, let alone start an orchestra. So at some point, people have recognized that life must go on and that we need to exist as humans and not just sleep and eat and go to work.
We should point out that you are no longer living in Iraq.
No, I have moved to Scotland in the past 5 years to study at Glasgow University.
Law. You're studying law.
Yes.
Do you intend to go back home at some point?
I hope to do so. I want to use my education to help further develop the state of the country. I feel like the country has a lot of potential, but I also think that perhaps it needs, not even perhaps, it needs the younger generation to help bring it up together and to progress. The change has to come from the community. And that, I think, is what the orchestra has contributed. It's been an example of a young person in the country who has started something and achieved change. And so I think lots of people in the country and from within my orchestra have been inspired to create their own imprint. Yeah.
You have no family left in Iraq, as I understand it.
I have extended relatives in the north, but no immediate family members.
Would you like to go back? And do you go back to visit?
I have never, well, since 2011, with my involvement with the orchestra of our last summer camp in Iraq, I've not been. But I would love to, and I do miss it dearly.
Yeah. How do you manage an orchestra if you're in Glasgow and they're in Baghdad or other parts of your country?
Well, when I was in Baghdad, I started and managed the orchestra with a weak internet connection. I just have a better connection in Glasgow. Mm. And so it's just been managed virtually, and it continues to do so until we all get together every year in the summer.
Yeah. You've mentioned that plans to perhaps come to this part of the world were disrupted somewhat. Are you thinking that this is going to happen anyway sometime in the not-too-distant future?
I want it to happen, yeah. And I'm working on it to happen, and I think it would be a shame for it not to happen. And I think the United States should see that future, that hope in the country. I think perhaps the country, your country, has worked so hard on freeing our country, on making it have a better future. So I think that hope and that light needs to shine through in here.
Is the United States helping the orchestra in any way in Iraq?
At the very moment, no. But in my recent engagements with government officials, I think there has been a great desire to help the orchestra, and I'm very happy to take that on board. And I think the more, the merrier, as they say.
And I know that you have said in the past that unity is part of the orchestra's mission, and you've mentioned that in our discussion here, and that, in fact, a certain unity has been established within the orchestra itself. But is there any evidence that the orchestra in any way has helped to establish any kind of unity in the country itself?
Within what context? Politically?
In any way. Has it been able to bring people together in any semblance?
Yes. I think the fact that we have over 1,000 people attending our concerts from all over the country when they're not musicians, and perhaps a lot of them have nothing to do with music, perhaps they don't even like classical music, and just coming together to support the orchestra, I think that's a prime example of bringing the country together.
What are the biggest challenges ahead, as you see it?
The biggest challenge is for the orchestra to continue and for us to still hold our concerts and perhaps to teach the musicians because of the disruption brought up by Islamic State. But I think that there is desire from our members in Iraq. There is a big desire for them to continue on with the orchestra. There is willingness from other parts of the world, and now that I see from the United States. And so if we bring that up again and set it up so that it can run itself and can sustain itself, then we've got the orchestra back on track. And so at the very moment, that's my biggest challenge.
And you mentioned earlier that the orchestra members and yourself are working with young people in other countries too as part of an education program. How is that working? How does that run out?
So every time we've had to, we were invited to perform somewhere for instance, at the Beethoven Fest in Bonn, in Germany, or in Aix-en-Provence, or even in Edinburgh for the French Festival, we've taken on some of the members of the local youth orchestra and brought them with the orchestra to sit together on one stage and perform. And it enhanced the cultural experience on both parts. And it just made my orchestra members to have lots of friends from around the world and perhaps to experience what a musician their age sees life as and what it's like to have regular music lessons and just to be. So.
Well, you must be very proud of what you've accomplished and what the orchestra has accomplished in just these 6 years.
I am very proud. I feel very privileged to have been able to do this. But I also feel that I am very proud of my orchestra members for overcoming so many difficulties and stereotypes and barriers. And I hope that continues for a better future.
What will you be telling your audience tonight at Principia?
I'll be speaking all about the orchestra, but I'll be going into more details even about my personal life. And I hope that it will help them think a little bit of how to see peace from a different perspective.
Well, I'm sure it will. Zuhal Sultan, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations once again on receiving the award from the Euphrates Institute. Well-deserved, obviously. Thank you so much for being with us. I'll remind folks that Zuhal is the founder of the National Youth Orchestra of Iraq, and she's speaking this evening on Uniting Iraq's Youth Through Music, 4:30 p.m., Wanamaker Hall at Principia College in Elsa, Illinois. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy your time in St. Louis.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, we'll meet the U.S. Ambassador to Ireland, Kevin O'Malley. He's a St. Louisan. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.